anticipating Christmas. This is what we're going to be looking at for the next several weeks, right up until Christmas morning. And it's kind of amazing to me to think about it. Think about it this way. I mean, Christmas, what other holiday has its own language? You know, we have certain words, we have certain phrases that are unique to Christmas. You know, what other holiday has its own music? I mean, Christmas has three channels on Sirius Radio. Did you know that? It's amazing. It has its own music. Christmas has its own clothing. You don't believe me? Just look around. Oh my goodness, did you see that ugly Christmas sweater back there? Stand up, ma'am. I'd like for everybody to... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't see that. But you know what I'm talking about? I mean, look around at how much red or green. I mean, we have a certain way that we dress. We have a certain way that we think. We have a certain way that we talk. We have certain music that we listen to that is unique to Christmas. All because there's an anticipation about Christmas. You know, it used to be that Good Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, 2 days ago. Black Friday, I'm sorry. Good Friday. Yeah, really, okay. But now it is Good Friday. That was my point. See, everybody thought I made a mistake there, but I didn't. I mean, that's how early we start thinking about and anticipating Christmas nowadays. But you know what? Here's the thing, folks. Anticipating Christmas is not a new idea. Matter of fact, anticipating this wonderful holiday season goes all the way back to the very beginning of time. Not something new. It was a great tradition in our family. I found this picture on the internet. We actually had one of these in our family when our kids were little. And what it is, on December the 1st, you put Santa at the top of the chimney, and then each day you pull one of the little pieces of wood out, and he slowly, one by one, goes down until on Christmas morning, you pull the last one out, and Santa drops down out of the chimney. And I'll never forget when our kids were little, and how this became really a terrible thing in our family when Kristen was born. Because they would fight over who pulled out the next peg. You know, and they would get up and they would like race downstairs because they thought that the first one down there got to do it. And then they would be fighting it over, and Arlene and I would come down, and or we had to stop them and say, no. And this, and finally I just said, hey, it's Dad's job to pull out and let Santa go down the chimney. All right? Nobody else. Caused a real rift in our family. And when they left home, we actually found one on the internet and ordered it. And we gave each of them, I'm sorry, ouch, that hurt. Okay, erase that off the tape, Sam, would you? And we gave each of them one of them. And then they were fighting over which one got the real one, right? Anticipating Christmas. It's not a new idea. Matter of fact, it's not even a commercial idea. You see, a lot of times we think or we blame the anticipation of Christmas on the materialistic, consumer-driven culture in which we live. And we think that they make Christmas come around earlier and earlier and earlier because they want to make more money. Or they start ringing the bell at the mall earlier and earlier and earlier so they can collect more money. And that might be true. But that's not why we anticipate Christmas. That's not why we think about this holiday, this day, this season differently than the others. It's because God told us about the anticipation of Christmas from the very beginning. That in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and He made you and me in His image, He had within His plan the idea of coming and redeeming us and bringing us back to Himself. You see, this morning, we started talking about the Advent season, started to talk about the hope of Christmas. And every week we're going to light a candle on this Advent wreath, and we're going to anticipate. That's what the Advent is. That's what it's all about. It's about anticipating God's coming, anticipating what God is going to do. So we do that. And what we do is that we restore hope. Hope comes back to us. I love the passage that we read from Isaiah 35. Look at what it says. It says, "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, listen, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you." From the lips of the prophet, that is the hope of Christmas. I don't know what Christmas does for you, or what the Christmas season does for you, or the anticipation of Christmas does for you. But here's what I hope it does. I hope that it allows for hope to be born in you. Because really, that's what the Christmas season is all about. Did you know that for 400 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that the heavens had been silent? 400 years since the prophet Malachi had spoken. Now think about that. We think 400 years. Think about 400 years ago. 1916, 1816, 1716, 1616. Decades and decades and decades of silence. But they always had that hope. They always had that hope that God would be able to come and give to them the thing that they needed most, the thing that they wanted most. They wanted to hear from God. They wanted to know that God was there and that God would see them through. A few days ago, Arlene and I were down visiting, of course, with family. Had a wonderful time of Thanksgiving with family. And when we got there, our daughter Sarah and I, we went to the store to pick up some things that we needed for our holiday season. Isn't it amazing? You go visit your kids, they wait till you get to town before they go to the store with you. I wonder why that is. I don't know. And so we're walking around the store together, just the two of us. And she made this comment about how Jack, my grandson, 2 and a half, how he loves watermelon. I said, "Let's get him some watermelon." She said, "Oh, Dad, water, it's just so expensive." I said, "Buy that boy some watermelon, okay? And don't get one of those that you have to cut up yourself. Get it that's already cut up for him. I'll make sure that he enjoys that." So we got him the watermelon. We're walking around the store. We get to another place in the store, and she sees this really nice gingerbread house, this kit where you can make a gingerbread house, and it's got the sides and everything, and it's got the candy in it, and it's got the cream that you put on and all this stuff. And she said, "Oh, Jack would love doing this." And then she looked, and she said, "Oh, my goodness, look how much it is." I said, "Put it in the buggy." You know, I don't know about you, but when I shop at home and I go for cereal, you know, cereal is so expensive. And we're in the cereal aisle, and it's like whatever he wants, you know. Get some for your mom. Get some for you later after we leave, right? I mean, that's the way I felt. But magnify that over and over and over again. And think about what God wants to give you at Christmas. Because there's an awful lot of people at Christmas who have lost hope. They don't feel the closeness of family. They don't feel the closeness of God. They don't feel the strength within their bodies from Him. Their soul and their spirit feels low. And they feel like a parched land that the prophet talks about. They feel like the wilderness that has no blossom. They feel like the crocus that has no bloom. And what they need more than anything else is hope. But when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, hope was born. God was talking again. God was here in the flesh. And we need to understand that that's what God wants to give us at Christmas as well. Hope is born. But not only is hope born, I think we really need to understand that hope is renewed. That hope is restored. That hope isn't something new. That hope isn't an accident that has fallen down upon us or fallen in our laps. But that hope is something that came from the very heart of God that was intended for us from the very beginning. I mean, have you ever thought about that the little place where Jesus was born was talked about in the Old Testament? That the virgin birth was mentioned in the Old Testament? That all of the things surrounding Jesus' birth were talked about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before it ever came to be? It's because God wants us to know at Christmas time that we can anticipate His coming, His hope coming, His hope being renewed within us. That the channel has been reset, and that we can now hear from Him. It's a beautiful thing when you know that that's what God has done and what God intends for all of us. You know, I don't know about you, but I read with sadness the other day some of the headlines about Black Friday, of the way people treated each other. And even some people lost their life in fights and scuffles that happened over materialistic things in this world. It's amazing how we line up for things like that. I was thinking the other day as I was driving down the road and I was listening to this beautiful Christmas song, and I was thinking about that Arlene and I and some friends had just recently gone to a Christian concert by this person and heard her sing this particular song. And it made me think about how there were a lot of people there, but there wasn't thousands and thousands of people. And then I thought about how thousands and thousands and thousands of people fill up the Bryce Jordan Center and other places for singers of our time. And I wondered, you know, why not thousands and thousands and thousands to hear this music rather than this other music? And then it hit me, it's because we're chasing two different things. Our goals are not the same. Our appetites are not craving the same things. What are you craving? You see, although not very many people got the message of Christmas, that first Christmas season, it is still true that hope was born and that hope is renewed, is restored for me and for you. But it's just whether or not we are hearing that story from God. Take a minute and listen. Watch this.
A people living in darkness living in the land of the shadow of death. Is this you? Where is God in the silence? Where is God in the darkness? Could it be that your pain, your grief, all the world's suffering, all the world's darkness is the genesis of new life? For out of the darkness, when there was only emptiness, God spoke forth light. From within the darkness of the earth, toiling up from beneath the soil, God brought forth life. After that dark and stormy flood, adrift for 40 nights, from the hand of God came a promise. After the darkness of the wilderness, years wandering lost, trying to hold on to faith, he gave a promised land. From the darkness of a mother's womb, all the questions, all the expectation, God formed a child. And from the darkness of that silent night, when it seemed the voice of God was unheard, when it seemed the hand of God was unseen, that silence was broken by the cries of a baby, a son, a savior. God wastes nothing, not even our darkness. For we know that for those who love God, even in our times of darkness, God is working for our good. So today, in the midst of whatever darkness you feel, know this. Today, a light has dawned. Hope is not lost. Hope is never lost. Today, hope is born.
So this Christmas season, let's anticipate hope. And here's the thing. Even if you don't realize it, hope is here for you. What are you anticipating this Christmas? I mean, do you understand that hope can be born in your life, that hope can be renewed or restored in your life? You know, I'll never forget many, many years ago, Dixie Straub's sister was visiting. She visited every Christmas, and she'd always come with them to the Christmas Eve service. And one particular Christmas Eve service, she came up, and she was always so sweet to me, and I gave her a hug, and she gave me a check, and the check was an offering to the church, and she wanted to make sure that it got to where it needed to go. And I said, I'll take care of that, and I put it in my pocket of my jacket, and it was so sweet. One year later, I was getting ready for Christmas Eve, and I put that jacket on, and there's the check. You know, and it wasn't for $10 or $20 either. I mean, it was a significant gift. So I went to Christmas Eve that night, and I saw her. She was here again, and I said something about the check and that I had found it, and I was so sorry, and she made some comment that, you know, she thought I'd run off to Mexico or something and enjoyed this. And I tried to ensure that I would never do that. And to my surprise, Karen Kramer, and I'm sure you can't imagine her telling her this, but she told her, don't ever give John the check. Give it to me. So from then on, she always did that. But it's amazing that I had that and I knew how important it was. And I had it in my mind to do what was right with it. Forgotten. You see, some of you have put this promise of hope away. Some of you have taken this beautiful gift, this anticipation of hope at this holiday season, and you've tucked it away. You've forgotten where you've placed it. And we need to make sure that we get it out. And that remains a part of our heart and our spirit this holiday season. Because you can't have Christmas without hope. And you can't have hope without anticipation And without anticipation, Christmas becomes dull and even void. But with it, it becomes real and meaningful and life-changing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we pray that you would that you'd help us this morning. Help us to anticipate the beauty of this season. Help this season to be more than just a way we talk, more than just music we listen to, Lord, more than just clothes we bring out of the closet just to wear at this time of year. May it be more, Lord, than just a holiday. May it be more than just a season. May it be an event that changes our life, changes our destiny, changes our eternity, all because, Lord, of what you did. That hope being born, hope being restored. And God, I pray that that would change us. Change us today and change us tomorrow and change us, Lord, every day that is ahead. May it be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.